There we go. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Before I get into the sermon this morning, I would like to speak to the congregation as an elder. Gary and I, after meeting and talking, we have decided that there is a preacher in Quitman, Arkansas, that we would like the congregation to support. And so starting last month, we started supporting Matthew Smith as he's working as the preacher at the Quitman congregation. Matthew is an outstanding young preacher. He was molded and taught and shaped by Bob and Alex Hill. And for years, I have been trying to encourage him to be a preacher. And so when he finally made the commitment to quit his full-time job and become a full-time preacher, many of us rejoiced because we could see his God-given abilities. And that he is a very serious student of the Bible. And so when he came to us and asked for help in his financial support, we agreed to help him. And so I'm glad to say that he's an outstanding young preacher, and I'm proud that this congregation is helping him survive as he preaches the Word of God. The scripture that was read here at the opening, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 from the Sermon on the Mount, says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." I have a question I would like to start the sermon with this morning. Very simple question. Do you believe in God? I was asked that question many years ago, my very first week at Florida College, by Melvin Curry. And I proudly said, "Yes, Mr. Curry, I believe in God." And he said, "Okay, Mr. Fancher, you say you believe in God, now why?" And I went, "Well, in the Bible," and he says, "You can't use the Bible, Mr. Fancher. Now explain to me, why do you believe in God without using the Bible?" And I went, "Well, And then he said, "I see." And then he went to the next person and asked them the same question. I want to tell you this. That event in my life opened my eyes immensely. The reason it opened my eyes so immensely is because I'd been struggling in my relationship with God for years. And I didn't really know what was wrong with me. And whenever he asked me that question, I realized, I can't even tell you why I believe in God. That pretty much told me where the problem was. I was following the religion of my culture and my family. Why did I believe in God? Well, I've been raised in a culture where everybody around me believes in God, so sure, God is there. Yeah, I know about God. Mom and Dad believe in God. Everybody I know believes in God, so yeah, I believe in God too. But then asked, "Why do you believe in God?" Well, I don't know. "Why do you believe the Bible is the Word of God?" Well, I don't know. After that class was over, I was so dumbfounded by the realization of where I was, I couldn't even get out of my chair. The rest of the students, they left, and I was still sitting in my chair. The classroom was empty, and I got up, and I walked out on the balcony there on the second story of the building. I broke down in tears. And I remember going over and sitting down on the stairs. And after I composed myself, I made a vow to myself that day. Never will I believe anything without knowing why I believe it. And I began a journey that day. And the journey was trying to find out the very foundation. Why do I believe in God? And I had to go to the general theory of evolution. I had to work through it. And then, why do I believe the Bible is the Word of God? And then, why do I believe Jesus is the Son of God? And as I worked through each and every one of these and got to the point to where I knew why I believed in God, and I knew why I believed Jesus was the Son of God, I knew why I believed the Bible was the Word of God, and I could answer it, that changed my life more than anything. When it became my faith, and not just a faith that I absorbed from my parents and my culture. That's why I asked you the question. Do you believe in God? My next question would be, why? Why? And exactly how important is God to you in your life? In the sermon this morning, we're going to be talking about diligently seeking God. And before you ever diligently seek God, you have to believe that he exists. It's over in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. says, every house is built by someone or some man. He who built all things is God. It's not on the sermon outline. I'm just quoting the scripture. This building that we're in right now, when I look at this building, I do not think, well, this came together by chance. Just using common sense and reasoning, I can deduce that some intelligence beings designed this and built this. Every house is built by someone. But he who built all things is God. Look at the universe around you. Look at the world. Look at the creation. It declares to us God's existence. The scripture we read from this morning's Bible class in Romans chapter 1, and by the way, the whole Bible class was a springboard for the sermon. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Let's stop right there. It's talking about God's invisible attributes. God is invisible. Yet it's talking about his attributes are clearly seen. How are they clearly seen? And he tells you here. They're clearly seen being understood by the things that are made. What God made, its mere existence, declares to us that there's an intelligent being out there that made it. We are a creation of an individual out there who had enough power and wisdom to create us. We can deduce God's existence from the creation itself. The last part of the verse says, even his eternal power and Godhead says that they are without excuse. For someone to say there's not enough evidence for them to come to believe in God, they have their eyes and their mind closed. All you have to do is look at the creation, the beauty, the perfection, the design of it. And you can, using common sense, come to the conclusion correctly, there's a designer. And the designer and the creator is God. You have to believe that God exists before you ever are going to seek him. One of the great experiences of my life was when this congregation sent Linda and I and our family to Czechoslovakia after the Iron Curtain fell. And we went into a culture which was almost totally atheist. And I spent 6 months of my life having Bible studies with atheists. And I'm here to tell you, atheists are the easiest people in the world to convert. Does that surprise you? Because once you answer their questions about the general theory of evolution, and they realize, wait a minute, it didn't just happen. There's a designer. There's a God that created it all. If you've never seen or witnessed someone having a major worldview change, of going from being an atheist who does not believe in God, who thinks it all happened by chance and believes in the general theory of evolution, to someone who believes in God now and believes he created everything, you've got to understand this is a massive change in their perspective of life, a world-changing view. And it shook them to their core. And their first question is, he's there. What's he like? What's he like? And so what they began doing is seeking God. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9 says, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. God is looking at our hearts. And he's wanting to see someone who's honestly trying to find him, seeking him, trying to find out what he's like, where he is. Is it possible for me to even be with him? 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. I want you to notice in these two verses here we just read here in Chronicles, it's talking about setting your heart. And the idea is, I recognize God is there. And I'm going to find him. And I'm going to find out what he's like. And I'm going to try to understand him as much as I can. You're setting your heart and you're setting your mind to find out about God. It's not enough to just go, yeah, I believe in God. Okay, so what? You see, therein lies the problem. I was so comfortable with believing in God because I've been raised in a God worldview culture, I didn't really think about it very much. It's sort of like, yeah, God exists. Yeah, I know that. Because you've always believed in him, it's easy to take him for granted. Because it's sort of like, yeah, God's there. So if God looks into your heart and God searches your heart, is he going to see someone who has decided and set their mind and set their heart to where I'm going to find out about God, I'm going to seek God, I'm even going to seek to be with him? The next text in Chronicles, chapter 12, 14, 2 Chronicles. And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. You see, there's the other side. On one side, the person is preparing himself to seek the Lord. On the other side, the person, he's there, so what? And you're not really trying to find out about God. You're not trying to find out who he is, what he's done, how he feels about you, what is his character like, where is he? It's sort of like, yeah, you're there. That's nice. Okay, let's go. I would say that probably describes the majority of the people in our culture. They believe in God. They just don't care about him. They don't really care about him. Yeah, he's there. Okay, so what? So now I have to ask you, you say you believe in God. Do you want to know what he's like? Are you curious of what the Creator is like? Are you curious of his character, of his power, of why he created everything, and what it's all about? Do you have some curiosity in you about God to where you're going to set your heart and prepare your heart to find him? 2 Chronicles again, chapter 7, verse 14. I'm going to read from the outline on this one. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. I want you to notice the way this verse begins. Before he talks about praying and seeking his face and turning from their wicked ways, the very first thing he says is, humble yourselves. I want to tell you something about us that we just need to come to grips with and accept. I am a creation. Somebody made me. You're a creation. He made you. Your existence is dependent upon the one who made you. The life that you have right now is because he gives you life. You will forever be totally dependent upon him. If you don't like that, okay. It's not going to change. It is reality. But we need to humble ourselves and realize and always keep in mind, I am his creation. He's the one who made me and all the parts of me. And the reason all my parts work together and function the way they do is because he designed me that way. I am a design that has been made. Psalm says in chapter 10 and verse 4, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Do you see the contrast here? On one side, you've got the humble, and the humble recognize God is there, and the humble is going to pray and seek God, and if you find out something to be the will of God, change his life to fit it. Where on the other side, you got the proud individual, and the proud individual doesn't care about God. The proud individual, if you don't understand pride, it's all about me. Me and me and after that, me. And the proud individual is not going to seek God. They're not going to care about God. God, as the scripture says, is in none of their thoughts. All that's in their thoughts is what they want and how they like it and how they want it to be. And so the proud are not going to seek God. The humble individual who recognizes God is the one that created me. I live because of him. I am what I am because of him is ultimately, hopefully, going to be curious and want to find out about this God. And that leads you to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. But from there, you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him. But notice the next phrase. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Seeking is not casual looking. Anybody here ever lost your cell phone? Yeah. Anybody here ever had your spouse call your cell phone and it's not in the house and you're going, where is it? Or have you ever lost your keys? Oh. Have you ever said, I'm not going to look in that drawer again. I know it's not in there. And you go and look in the drawer again. Okay. That's seeking. It is not casually looking. Those who seek God with their whole heart, those will be the ones that find him. It cannot be a half-hearted search. It cannot be a casual looking. And I'll find out a little bit about you, and after I find a little bit about you, okay, that's nice, let's go. It's got to be wholehearted with all your soul. If you seek for him with your whole heart and all your soul, you'll find him. Same thing in Jeremiah 29, 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You see, it's the same thing. When you search for him with all your heart, you're going to find him. Putting it another way in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So at the very beginning, you've got to believe that God is. If you don't believe in the existence of God, you're not going to look for him. But not only do you believe in the existence of God, you believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See the type of seeking here? Diligently seeking, searching hard, diligently, with all your heart. That kind of searching, you will find him. Same thing again in Proverbs 18 and 17, or 8, 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So it's got to be with all your heart, and it's got to be diligently. Now then, whenever I would take someone in Czechoslovakia who was an atheist, from the point of being an atheist to believing in God, I mean, the immediate question was, what's he like? Tell me about God. What can you tell me about God? And so whenever you're searching and seeking for God, invariably you're going to come to this, the Bible, the Word of God. And one of the first things I would do whenever I would get an atheist to believe in God is I would go immediately to explain to them why I believe the Bible is actually revelation from the Creator God Himself. It is not enough to say, believe this is from God because I say so. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God because your parents or your culture told you so? I'm going to be quite frank with you. That's not going to get it. You need to know why you believe this is from God and be able to explain to people why you honestly believe this is from God. Because if you're going to seek God, this is going to be the way in which you're going to find him. You can deduce God's existence from the creation, but you do not know that God is one by looking at the creation. You do not know that God is holy from looking at the creation. You do not know that God loves you from looking at the creation. The only way we can come to know the God, the creator of the universe, is by looking at his revelation about himself. And it is here in my hands. And Ezra now, chapter 7 and verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Now, you remember earlier we talked about preparing your heart to seek God? In preparing your heart, you're sitting down, you're thinking about it, and you're thinking, okay, I'm really going to do this. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to try to find out about God. I'm going to seek Him. Ezra did the same thing in preparing his heart. But what he prepared his heart in seeking was the law of the Lord. Isaiah says in 55:6-9, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Dropping down to verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. One of the big mistakes people make about God is they start thinking God's like me. God feels the way I do. God likes what I like. God doesn't like what I don't like. God is holy. And for us to understand what is right and what is wrong, we have to have God's guidance in His Word. God is holy. He expects us to be holy. And for us to come to understand the way God thinks, we have to look into God's revelation about Himself and how He expects us to live and behave. Going to Isaiah 58, now verse 2, it says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. And so here he's praising them because they're seeking Him, they're seeking Him daily, and they want to know about the ways of God. They want to know what is righteousness. They want to know exactly what God's will is, and they're not going to forsake them. He says, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. I got a question for you. How do you feel about reading the Bible? Is it an ordeal to you? Is it work to you? Thank you for letting me be a preacher. I get to sit down with the Bible and just dive in. And sometimes when I dive in, I'll go into it and I'll be going through it and swimming and reading and swimming and reading. And then the phone will ring and it will be Linda. She says, are you going to come pick me up? What time is it? It's 3:00. And when I come pick her up, invariably the question is this. Did you eat? Because always, whenever I don't come pick her up, what that means is I was so deep in the Word of God, I got lost in time. And no, I didn't eat. I want you to know, when I come out of that, I feel great. It's awesome. If you're not doing this, if you're not diving into the Word of God, you're missing out. It is how we find out about our Creator and how much He really does love you, how awesome He really is, how powerful He really is. You want to know about God? Go into His Word. Dive into it. Turn off your screens. Dive into the Word and swim through it. Let it soak into your mind and fill it up. You will feel wonderful. And if you've not experienced that, I want to encourage you. Do it. I know you work at secular jobs. I know you've got all kinds of things you got to take care of. But try to set aside some time when you can do some serious reading of the Word. At the last part of this verse talks about they take delight in approaching God. Psalm says in Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. When you're seeking God with your whole heart, you're going to come to His testimonies. You're going to come to His Word. Before I go any further, though, we need to talk about the last part of this now. You remember, those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a reward of those who diligently seek Him. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and His strength. Why? Seek His face evermore. I come to learn about God, His character, His strength, His power, His holiness from looking into the Word of God. And as I learn about this God who is holy and who loves me, I don't mind telling you this. I really would like to be with him. I really would like to be in his presence. I'd like to be where he is. And if it's okay with him, I'd like to stay there. Like forever. Thank you for the song, by the way. You're diligently seeking his face. No man has seen the face of God. I want to see it. I want to be in the absolute presence of the Creator himself. I have come to know about him and his word. And by faith, I believe it is describing the way God really is and who he really is. His holiness and his great love for us. But now I want to be with the one who loves me. I'm seeking his face where he is. When you go to the Word of God and you start seeking to be with God, you see, part of it is seeking to try to find out about God the Creator. Now you're trying to seek to be with God the Creator. As you're seeking his face, and you go into the Word of God, the Word of God is going to lead you invariably to Jesus. And it is going to bring you to this individual who was born of the Virgin Mary, who to perform miracles openly for all men to see, who was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of God right now. How do I know and believe all this? The Word. It is the Word that produces our faith about Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in John 14:6? No man shall come into the Father except through me. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. If you desire to see the face of the Father, you cannot go without going through Jesus. So if you're seeking God diligently, sooner or later, you're going to come to Jesus. And you're going to have to answer this question. Who is he? Who is he? Those of us that are Christians, we believe he's the Christ. We believe he's the Son of God. We believe he's the way to see the face of the Father. Psalm says in 34 and verse 10, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The way it's put in the New Testament in Matthew 6 and 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? And all these things shall be added to you. There are blessings in seeking God. If you seek God, he will bless you in this life. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Trying to find out what a life that is pleasing to God and then living it by faith. You seek God, he will bless you in this life. And then in the resurrection, he will bless you with eternal life to be allowed to be with him. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand justice. But those who seek the Lord, they understand all. I understand where I came from. I can use the Word of God and shine the Word of God all the way back to the Garden of Eden, creation itself. I can use the same Word of God and go back and look at Christ crucified at Calvary. I can take the same Word of God and come to understand I am a human being created in the image of God. And that death is a separation of the body and the spirit. And the reason Christ came and died on the cross was for my sins. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered death itself and has given us a living hope of the resurrection. I came to all of that through the Word of God. I have understanding. Understanding where I came from, understanding where I am, and understanding where I'm going. I can take the same Word of God and shine it all the way up to the throne of God himself and follow this Word of God in my diligently seeking God to where one day, brethren, it's coming, we will see his face. We have to prepare our heart to seek God, though. We have to seek God with a humble spirit and a humble heart. We have to seek him with our whole heart. We have to seek him diligently. We have to seek him through his word, and you will find him. And in the end, 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. And finally, in the very closing of the Bible, in Revelation 22:4, they shall see his face. I want to do something in the closing here. Through the eyes of faith, I want to take you to the moment that is coming in your existence. You need to realize through the eyes of faith, it's coming. The moment you see his face. Yeah, that moment. It's coming. But we have to seek him diligently with our whole heart through his word and faith to finally be there. The God who created us and sustains our life, who does exist, who is holy, who loves us, we will see his face. We will find. I appreciate your kind attention. If you answer the question, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, but you're not a Christian yet, I have a question for you. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, why aren't you a Christian? You need to be willing to open and confess the faith that you believe. And then motivated by your faith, look into the Word of God and come to understand the righteous, holy life God wants you to live. And by faith, strive to conform yourself to the image of Christ, a life of holiness and service to God. And then we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and your relationship with God has grown weak because your faith has grown weak, I hope maybe even through the sermon here this morning that your faith has been encouraged and strengthened. To where you will realize, I want to be right with God. I want to seek God with my whole heart. I want to see with his face and be with him. But there's sin between you and God right now that you need to deal with. Then deal with it. Take the sin to God, confess it to him, and turn from it. As your brothers and sisters, we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.